We are WGBB, the station that serves your community.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze.
And it fills. Let's proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the universe. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, this is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
And welcome, listeners, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening. We love you. That was Joan Chiffo. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. Joan Chiffo is my lovely bride. And we're here to say we're two young kids and we love Jesus. Right?
Right.
Joan, before we introduce our guest, which is a very dear friend of ours, I just want to mention that this show, as well as shows, is dedicated in the loving memory of my partner and my co-founder, right. Dr. John Palmer, who I miss daily. So all shows are dedicated to Dr. Palmer. And also, I want to thank everyone that has donated to the legacy of Dr. John Palmer to keep the radio show going for 2016. The response has been very fabulous and very heartwarming. So thank you all those that have donated and you received a package from us. But most importantly, every day I do a novena for all those that donated to the show. But the package you get is also in memory of Dr. Palmer. So I want to welcome everybody. And Joan, who's our guest today?
Oh, well, we have a guest today who's an old friend of the show. And she's been here before. She's been here in one of our first shows. And her name is Sarah Ryan. And she is one of the partners and owners of Advent. And there are three shops here on Long Island. They're religious article stores. And she is a feminine touch to religious article presentation. And she can help people in a different way. She can help people. She's a little bit more into their lives and asking them questions and getting to know them. And this is how she sells her products. So, Sarah, would you like to tell us about your shop?
Thanks, Joan. Thanks, Anthony, for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming back to us.
It's such a gift to have this radio show. It's such a, for me, a blessing because, of course, I love Dr. John Palmer. And he was one of the people who helped to keep me encouraged at times when, you know what, you just want to throw in the towel and just say, oh, gosh, this is really hard. And he would always say, don't quit yet. It's going to happen. They're going to be lining up to get in your stores. And so I use the little tagline when I'm getting a little crazy, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle.
Oh. That's so beautiful. Can I copy
That's
that?
Great.
Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Because when you, as you both know, when you take on something for the Lord, when you're called to do something for him, it doesn't always mean it will be an easy road.
You hit on to a great point, and I was going to mention it at today's show, that in one way or another, we're all called on by Jesus and the Lord to do something. It may not be a great big thing, but it's to do something in their honor. But a lot of us sometimes don't recognize that we're being called. But you know what? You were called and you recognized it. How did you ever do that?
Well, having already been prepared, because I think that Jesus, already sets the seed in you, whether you realize it or not, so that when he asked you to do something, he's already given you the wherewithal to do it. We just have to come out of our comfort zone and say yes.
Absolutely. Here I am, Jesus. Use me.
Oh, wait a minute. That's me.
Oh, that's you. I can never beat her.
Well, you know, one of my favorite songs when I was gone from the church for a while, and when I came back, one of my favorite songs, and I didn't realize it, you know, what it meant, because I used to just, when I came in church and they played "Here I Am, Lord," my heart used to race.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you realize, because that song just says, you know, just send me.
Yeah.
Send me. And he does. So he takes you from places you never thought you would be or go. I mean, I was perfectly content in my job, managing my cleaners. It was something I had done since I was 16. I knew how to do it like the back of my hand. I was comfortable in it. Very comfortable in it. And, you know, so to take that leap of faith, you know, step away from your job, invest your own money in something that,
right.
you know,
right.
to take that chance. That was, it could only happen with God's touch. Because when Teresa and I did this, our husbands had to be on board.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I could tell you about that, but
yes,
absolutely.
And that's how you know it's by the hand of God,
yeah.
because if there's disunity, then it's not from God.
No, and that's
can't
a great point.
That way, right.
A great point. You know, I have my doctorate in business and entrepreneurship, and I teach business and entrepreneurship. And one of the first things that I teach is that if you're going to start a business and you don't have the full support of your spouse or your better half, forget about it, baby,
yeah.
because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You need to have the full support. And I know you've had the full support of
yes.
your husband,
and so is
Teresita.
My husband and Teresita's husband.
I love both those guys,
yes.
by the way.
And the truth is, you know what? They had to help carry us and work harder so that we could keep doing what we were doing.
Yeah.
Because anyone who's in business knows for the first couple of years, it's tough. It's not easy.
Sure.
You know, and you have to stay focused. And, you know, I used to say I was like the Israelites. Every once in a while I would cry out, "Oh, Lord, you know what? Really? You know what? It would be easy to sell snow to Eskimos, you know, and I'd make a better living."
You know? You're right.
And I'm sure he used to laugh at me, you know. Or other times I would say, you know, "Lord, I was like the Israelites. I had it easier when I was working
the cleaners.
In the cleaners, you know." So one day I was complaining to him, and I heard him say quite clearly, "So you want to go back to Egypt, do you?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I had to repent and say, "No, Lord, I just want to just, you know, no, please, Lord, I don't want to go back to Egypt. Egypt is bondage." You know what? And he promised to take us to the promised land. And that's what you got to hold on to. That's why
absolutely.
You can't quit.
Yes, absolutely.
5 minutes before the miracle.
So you were blessed. Teresita was blessed. And quite honestly, I was blessed that we all had the support of our spouses and we all had the love of our spouses, and she's proof of the pudding.
She's sitting
there.
There
she is.
Here
yes.
I am.
How right?
Yes.
Proof of the
Never
pudding,
thought
baby.
I'd be here.
How was that? Huh? How did I say it?
Great, just like I taught you.
Just like you wrote it down. So I'm proud to have her as part of the show. She's become a very intricate part of the show, to be honest with you. So thank you. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Sweetheart. Okay, so we're blessed to have our spouses backing us up. So how did you proceed with this thing? I mean, like, what did you ever know about opening up a religious store? What did you know about retail?
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
So
how did it come to you?
So
nothing.
It just shows that when God calls you
yeah.
for a task, He prepares you. I'm sure he prepared you somehow or other.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think that he's always preparing us in the sense that having worked and did what I did do, being around people and managing people, of course, that was a plus for me. But
right.
to go into retail is a separate entity unto itself. And even to go into business. I mean, there are so many things you need to know. You know, I always say people come in, where before I would go into a restaurant, you see a crowd, you'd be like, "Oh, wow, I bet these people are making $1 million. You know, but then you think, you know, when you're a business owner, you're thinking, "Wow, they're doing good today, but I bet you on Monday nobody was here.
Absolutely.
You could have shot a rocket through
Absolutely.
The place. So
you, know,
you look at everything differently. You walk into somewhere else and you see how the people behind the counter act. And you know, your whole perspective changes
yeah.
once you're an owner.
And when you're called and you say yes, I always say, you got to fasten your seatbelt because he's going to take you for a ride.
Oh, and it's a bumpy one.
And a bumpy ride like you never had before. You know, I'm thinking as I'm talking, saying this, I'm thinking about our boat, our good friends, Al Barbarino, who's a listener to the show. He sings the theme song. And, you know, we love him dearly. And he is another one that answered the call of Jesus to evangelize, to go out and talk, and to go out and to sing. And he enjoys the full support of his wife, Marianne. And without you spouses, no one would be able to do anything.
Right.
And so I think I'm – by the way, Al had a gig last week. And I heard it was a sellout. And it was a...
Amen.
And I heard he knocked them dead. So keep up the good work, Al, if you're listening. And we do love you, baby. Okay, now, once we're called, how do we proceed? I mean, do we give up everything and proceed along those calling? Or do we do it half-heartedly? Or do we just say, okay, I'll do it? And how is it done?
I don't think you can do it half-heartedly, because if you do it half-heartedly, it won't work. I think that
you certainly have put your heart into it. I can tell you that.
You know, I think that you have to go into it knowing that, you know what, I have to give it my all. I remember Teresa and I used to say, you know, we're going to give it our all, and we're not going to stop. We'll give up. Until that, the last, you know, we've done everything that we could possibly do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, because of that, I think that gave us strength at when times were hard, because in the beginning it's not easy. It's very tough.
It's like opening a business.
You know, you start from scratch and you work your way up, and listen, and we were learning as we were going. So,
but
it's,
the main thing is
you
did it with all your heart.
Yes.
And that's what my bride is doing by helping me out all her heart. And that's what I'm trying to do with all my heart. And that brings to mind a song.
Now, what song?
With all my heart. Can we have the first song, Trev? Joan is the musical director also, besides everything else.
This quiet place with you, I bow before your throne. I bear the deepest part of me to you and you alone. I keep no secrets, for there is no thought you have not known. I bring my best and all the rest to you and lay them down. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know all that is in me is yours completely. I'll serve you only with all my heart. You supply my needs according to your plan. So help me, Lord, to seek your face before I seek your hand. And trust you know what's best for me when I don't understand. Then follow it in every circumstance. With all my heart,
Great song, Joan.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, great song. And I guess it, what I'm trying to say, and what I think Joan was trying to say when she selected this song, is that, you know, we're all called in one way or another to serve Jesus. We may not even know that we're being called, and we may not recognize it. Sometimes he has to hit us in the back of our head to know that we're being called, like, you know, hey, you, I'm calling you. And so you sometimes may say, me, I'm such a simple little guy. But you know what? The Blessed Mother and Jesus and the Heavenly Father don't always select the best. They mostly select the simplest and the most humblest. And so if you're getting the call, I think you need to recognize it and you need to react. Because God calls us all for different reasons and to do different things. Okay, so now while I said that, by the way, I also want to mention one more thing. I don't want to be long-winded, but this is a grassroots program. And by grassroots, I mean it's meant for the listeners. It's meant for the different parishes within the diocese. And it's open to all the listeners. We don't take phone calls, but you can certainly text your thoughts, your likes, your dislikes during the show. You can text it to 516-712-7005. 516-712-7005. If you'd like me to read the text, I'll read it on the air. But you can give your opinion, and you can tell us what you like and what you don't like. Don't say too many bad things about me, though. I'm very, very sensitive. Okay, so, Sarah, you got the call.
Yes.
You said, yes, here I am, Jesus, use me. So what did you do? You got a partner. How did you get the partner? You got the stores. How did you get the stores?
Well, actually, Teresa got the original call, and then the Lord put it on her heart that I should be her partner. And then we did what most people do. You know, we were starry-eyed and excited, and we started to look around at a place to open brand new, and, you know, we thought we were like, you know, little kids. We were going to open a store. It was going to be real simple. You buy some Bibles,
you
buy some rosaries, you put them on the wall, some pictures, and open the doors, and everything's A-OK. Well, actually, it didn't work out quite like that. We wanted to open brand new, and, again, the beautiful thing about God is when he does call you, there are some doors that he shuts that he doesn't want you to go through and some doors that he opens.
That's a good point.
That he wants you to go through. So when we thought we were going to open new, everything we looked at and did, somehow or other that door was slamming shut. And my husband had said over and over again listening to your spouse, why don't you call Jan and Bob from the Advent Shop in Raffle Center and see if they want to sell? You know, you don't need to start new. Why don't you call them? And at first we were like, no, we want to, you know, we thought we're going to start new. We had all these ideas. And again, God had better ideas. He shut those doors. And so we called Bob and Jan, and that's how we started. We started with the first one in Raffle Center. And that was the beginning.
It was called
the Advent Shop.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was there already. They were wonderful, good, holy people. Yeah. We were just thrilled to continue doing what they started. And then a year later, we got a call that two other stores were available, and the Lord told us to go for it, so we did.
Wow.
We were always stepping out in faith, literally,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
walking on water and,
that's,
you know, without a tube around us. We were just like, oh, yeah, go ahead, let's do it. And I will be truthful. We've made some mistakes along the way because that's part
absolutely
of business.
That's part of the game.
You know what?
Sure.
You know, there's things you just don't know, and you learn them and you get better and better. Mm. I was thinking about it the other day. March 14th will be 11 years.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I looked back. I said a decade went by.
Yeah.
You know, when you say it
sure
in those terms, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of learning, a lot of trusting, a lot of trusting. You know what, Teresa and I, the beautiful thing about us is we are the same we were 11 years ago as two women who decided to do this together. We are still do not do anything unless we both agree on it. We are still joyful about what we do. We still love what we do. We love it very much.
That's the blessing.
We still have a heart for it. We still find joy in it. We still get together and laugh about situations that go on, and even our mistakes we laugh about. You know, we once bought these, we laugh all the time about it, these huge balls that were like, look like huge Christmas balls that says it's a boy and it's a girl, and they didn't move. And we keep one of them so that we can look at it all the time and say, you know what?
Let's not do that again.
and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, not everything's going to work, and that doesn't mean you don't start, you keep trying. You know, it can't hold you back either. You still have to step out.
Sure.
But you have to make better decisions,
yeah.
You know. So we've learned, you know, over the last 11 years that God is good, trustworthy.
Absolutely.
And he will take you places you never thought you would go.
Oh, my Lord. Once you say yes to Jesus, fasten your seatbelt, baby, because you're going for a ride.
The ride of your life,
darling. Ride of your life, and once you say yes. But you know what? I always say that we have to recognize when Jesus calls us. Because we all think like, you know, why would he call me? I'm a simple guy. Like, why would he call me? I'm just a little guy. I'm a simple guy. Well, you know what? It's us simple people.
And
the scriptures say that exactly.
It
You're
all
right.
The time.
Absolutely.
The scriptures say it all the time. You know what?
Absolutely.
He hid from the wise to tell the unlearned. You know what? Listen, when he calls you, he qualifies you.
Yeah. What's the scripture that you go by the most? Or is there a scripture?
There is.
You go,
yes, there is.
Now, what made me ask that question? Am I good or what, babe?
You're good.
The scripture the Lord gave me, and he gave it to me way before, again, in preparation. Way before. He actually gave it to me in 2002, probably at one of the scariest times of my life. See, because being in business might scare you, but when your spouse has a health issue,
that's
an
issue.
That takes precedence over everything
Absolutely.
Else. And my husband was going through something at that time, and I was just a wreck. I was a mess, truly a mess. And the Lord gave me a scripture to carry me through that. And the scripture was, I believe I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, take courage, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord.
So wise.
And that became flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones.
So
I would go
wise.
Around saying, I know that 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 I know. I shall see the Lord's goodness in this present life.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to hear it a different
in
way.
In a different way.
In this
exactly.
present, he said the land of the living, but in this
yeah,
present life.
Yeah.
He's going to show you that while you're alive. That's what this scripture says.
Right.
His goodness will be now. Sometimes we tend to say, oh, God's going to reward you when you're in heaven. No, that's not what this word says. It says you'll see
this
his goodness
now.
Right. In the land of the living.
Yeah.
You know, I just turned in this book, The Bible Promises of God, and I just turned the page, and like I always do, and I came to Psalm 69, which says, for the Lord heareth the poor and the despised. More than ever before. And so the Lord and Jesus is on our side.
Oh, yeah.
And if we think we're deprived and we're poor, don't fret over it because Jesus knows all about us.
Oh, yeah. And he will provide everything you
and
need.
And provide everything you need. So I don't know. So I use this book often during the show, and I always come up with some nice, heartfelt issues.
So I held on to that scripture. And I made it my own, and I said it over and over and over and over until it really, truly just became part of me. And I still, when I need to, he tells me, recall what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Recall. Mm. I gave you those words to carry you through.
That's a very that's a very interesting situation, very interesting comment. It shows to me that you not only became a businesswoman by the call of Jesus and God, but you also became spiritual. I see you're going to biblical scriptures to guide your life. I see that you're more active in religious life than probably people ever know or recognize because you don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But how are you so more active in religious life?
I think.
Come on, spill the beans.
Truthfully, I was raised Catholic, like, you know, you get raised Catholic and you love the church, and then you get to a certain age where you know better mm-hmm. than your parents, and you know better than the church, and you know better than everybody because you're really smart at that, you know, when you're in your 20s and your 30s. And I was away from the church. And then a situation came where I was desperate and hurting. And I always say, you know what, when the if the foundation is there, when you're desperate and you're hurting, you know where to go.
Yeah.
On your knees.
Absolutely.
On your knees.
Absolutely.
And I also say he either brings you to, you know, everyone gets on their knees in their lifetime. He either brings you to your knees or you get there on your own.
Yeah.
But either way, you're going to be on your knees at some point in your life because life happens. And that's what happened for me. And because of that, I started to go to a rosary prayer group. And from there, then I continued, and then I started a prayer group at St. Anthony Solomon's Porch, which is going into its 21st year.
Wow.
I've been a leader for 21 years there. We meet before the Blessed Sacrament for an hour every Friday night for praise and worship and giving glory to God. And we share
That's
about
wonderful.
How magnificent he works in our lives. So, and we've seen miracles there. We've seen so many miracles happen. And so, you know what? The Word of God became real for me. The Scriptures are real. They're alive.
I see that.
When I have my Bible out, I tell people I'm holding the heartbeat of God. Because mm-hmm. it's living and
it
it's
is.
Active. It's the heartbeat of God.
And he's telling us how to live our lives through
yeah.
the Bible.
You know, and there's so many. You have the Bible promise book, but there's so many promises in
there.
Oh, here.
Absolutely.
So many promises so that, you know what? Whenever you're feeling anything, you can go to it and hear him say to you, you know, I'm your shepherd. I've got you.
Yeah.
I've got you. Don't worry.
And he says it so many times. Oh, in so
over
many
and over.
Ways.
Over and over
yeah.
and over.
Yeah.
Al, are you on? Hello.
Yeah, Ant, how you doing?
Al, Barbarino.
Yeah.
We were just talking about you. We didn't say nothing bad.
No.
We yeah. said we love you. And we know you knocked them dead the last week from
oh,
what I'm
yeah,
hearing.
Praise God. It was good. Actually, the pastor of the parish is Father Walter Kajerski.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Beautiful, beautiful. He used to be actually at St. Catherine.
I know him well.
Yeah, Father Walter. Beautiful Walter. Man.
And I love the guy.
Two associates, too. Father Felix and Father Dennis. Great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. Sweet. Yeah, I wish I would have known Father Walter's over. I lost track of him.
Yeah, yeah, he's really good.
St. Catherine was his first parish.
So
I saw him when he became a priest in his first parish. He was a great...
Fantastic.
He was great.
But listen, you guys were talking about calling, and I figured, let me call you.
All right. Oh, I love it. Thank you for calling us. So, listen.
Sarah has definitely responded to the call, to say the least.
Oh, yes,
you know, good friend of mine, many years. And you are, needless to say, you and Joan, you answer God's call every week and during the week, too, in preparation for the Saturday.
Oh, we love you.
But God bless you guys.
And thank
many,
you.
Many, many fold.
And
he'll continue to give you the strength, you know, to do his work. That goes without saying.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I did not mean to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt. You know what?
I just want you to know, you know, just little things, something that Sarah just said, too. At one time or another, we're all forced to our knees.
Absolutely.
And I feel these days in particular, many are forced to their knees.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and we know where it goes, so... Oh. Praise God for that.
Sarah's got a big smile on her face like you wouldn't believe. She certainly loves you.
Yes,
and
I do.
So does Joan.
Brother.
These two women Praise got God. Such big smiles on their face.
I always tell the story about Al years and years ago, over 20 years ago. My sister called me and she goes, I was at church today and this man came and he sang. And I bought his cassette. That's how far back it goes. I bought his cassette.
Yes.
She goes, and his name's Al Barbarino. And I go, oh, I know him. And she's like, you know him?
Yeah. He affected me the same way.
Oh, thrilled, yeah.
The same way when I
first feel the same way, Al.
No.
Yeah, I did. She was so
did.
Funny. She's like, you know him? And
yeah, right, big deal.
He sang the first.
No, but, you know, we all answer the call the best way we can, and that's the name of the game, really. Just have to, as I said to the people this past week with the parish mission, I said, if you want to communicate with God, just turn off the head area and just start communicating from the heart. That's
oh,
where he
absolutely.
Sees, hears, listens, everything from the heart. Amen.
Oh, absolutely. Amen.
And that's
right.
What we try to live by, too.
And you certainly answered the call of God, and
well,
you certainly fastened your seatbelt. And the you know what the beautiful part of this is, that you exonify this, what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, is that we can't accomplish any of these things without the support of our spouse. And Marianne is a great supporter of
oh,
your
I,
work.
And I always say, you know, like doing this, it's only through the grace of God and the grace of my wife.
That's right, absolutely. And I couldn't do what I'm doing.
Without Joan, sure.
Without Joan.
The support of her. That's a given, it really
that's
is.
That's a given.
And you just can't take that for granted, because there is a lot of sacrifice. Whenever you're trying to do God's work, there's always sacrifice
right.
in one form or another.
Or another.
That's where it's at, and that's fine.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So
at any rate, listen, I don't want to take up your precious time there.
Listen, we love you.
We love you, too, very much. Marianne sends her love, too.
Give our love to Marianne.
Thanks for calling, Al. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thanks so much for taking the call. I said to Trevor, I said, if he cannot receive the call, that is fine.
No, we would never say no. Never say no to you. By the way, how are we doing?
Love you guys.
How we doing? How we doing?
Yeah, praise God. A plus.
I love you. I just like praise. I
was 1101.
When I was a kid, I never got praise. I just like praise. Thank you, buddy. Love you.
God bless you. Love you, too.
Okay. Well, stay in touch. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, baby. Take care. Bye. And you got to come back on the show, too. Okay? All right. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
And we all love Al, and we all
yes,
love his wife.
Do.
And they're such dear people. You know what? Is it all right if we do another quick song? Is that okay? And it's like... Not Too Far From Here.
Yeah,
we'll fit it in. Thank you, Trev.
Somewhere out there, there's a child who's in need, who will save them from their suffering. Somewhere out there, there's a parent to cry. Praying that they won't die.
Will God hears their desperate plea, and he promised to bring relief, and he wants to meet the need. Do you from your heart
to someone else in need?
That's
when love
really shows.
Yeah, and that's what love really
Okay, let's move on. Sarah, I want you to give, I'm going to do the Saints, but after we do the Saints, I want you to give your information to, so people can get in touch with you, because they know there are things that they're looking for they probably can't find. I'm looking for, myself personally, I'm looking for ties that are religious with crosses on them. But let's get on.
I'd like to talk about some of the items.
Yeah, the items that you have. But let's get on with the Saint, and then we'll donate the rest of the show to Sarah's items, okay?
Sure.
All right. You're on, Joan.
Oh, you want me to do this?
Yes, let's do the reflection. Now, I just want to say, Joan does the reflection because I'm from Brooklyn and I don't have good pronunciation. Joan's from Brooklyn. She's got beautiful pronunciation. Go figure. Go ahead, babe.
Okay, this is a reflection by Scott Hahn, and it's called In the Wedding. Think of the first week of Christmas as a season of epiphanies. The liturgy is showing us who Jesus is and what he has revealed about our relationship with God. Last week and the week before, the imagery was royal and filial. Jesus is a newborn king of the Jews who makes his co-heirs of Israel's promise, beloved children of God. Last week in the liturgy, we went to a baptism. And this week we're at a wedding. We're being shown another dimension of our relationship with God. If we're sons and daughters of God, it's because we've married into the family. Have you ever wondered why the Bible begins and ends with a wedding? Adam and Eve's in the garden and the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. Throughout the Bible, marriage is a symbol of the covenant relationship that God desires with his chosen people. He is the groom, humanity his beloved and sought after bride. We see this reflected beautifully in tomorrow's readings. When Israel breaks the covenant, she is compared to an unfaithful spouse, but God's promise to take her back, to espouse her to him forever in an everlasting covenant. Jesus performs his first public sign or miracle at a wedding feast. Jesus is divine bridegroom, calling us to see his royal wedding feast. By his new covenant, he will become one flesh with all humanity in the church. And each of us has been betrothed to Christ as a bride to a husband. The new wine that Jesus pours out is the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving to his bride. Today's epistle says, "This is the salvation announced to the families of the nation." Amen.
Amen. Great job, Joan. Good pronunciation. Let me just highlight Paul the Hermit, and then we'll move on with Sarah. I will have time. So Paul the Hermit, who was this guy? We celebrated his feast day on January 15th, yesterday. I don't think he's that well known, so that's why I selected him, to bring him up to the forefront. He was young, he was rich, he was well educated, he was happy. Everything should have been perfect, but he was a Christian. His name was Paul. He was 20 years old, and his home was the once great city, which stands on either side of the River Nile in Egypt. In those days, the mighty Roman Empire stretched as far south as Egypt. So what the Romans said was law in that land. What's more, at this particular time, around the year 250, the Roman emperor was a man named Decius, who disliked Christians even more than some other Roman emperors had done. He had many Christians put to death, so it was dangerous to be known to be a Christian. Paul's parents died when he was 15 and left him a great deal of money. That was fine, except that Paul's brother-in-law decided he'd like Paul's money, and he had seen a way to get hold of it. If he told the Romans that Paul was a Christian, then Paul would be put to death and he'd inherit all Paul's money. What a nice guy his brother-in-law was. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Paul discovered that he was about to be betrayed and fled from the city out into the desert. He found a cave where he could hide. There was a stream nearby which provided him with water, and he was able to live on the fruit of the date palms and fig trees which grew near the stream. He even began to enjoy the life of a hermit. A hermit, of course, we all know, is someone who moves around from normal, everyday life and lives alone in a secluded place. Paul found he enjoyed having time to think about God and time to pray. He had all he really needed, even fresh clothes that were made from the leaves of the palm trees. So he decided to remain a hermit. This was the life he sort of loved. After some years, so the story goes, a raven began visiting Paul each day. On each visit, the raven brought a half a loaf of bread, which is dropped near Paul's cave. Paul continued to live in this way for many, many years. Then one day, another Christian, who was also to become a saint, was led to Paul's cave. This man's name was Anthony, and he too was a devout and thoughtful Christian. But what was truly amazing about their meeting was that on the day that they met, the raven brought not half a loaf of bread, but a full loaf of bread for both of them. Go figure. The two men took a long time to start eating this meal because Paul insisted that Anthony was his guest and should therefore eat first, while Anthony insisted that Paul was the older and the more respected and that he should eat first. At last, they agreed to start together. Sounds like us Italians. The two men, who had done much thinking about what it means to be a Christian, had a lot to talk about. After some time, Paul told Anthony about his home. He also told Anthony that since he was now a very old man, he knew he was about to die. He said that he would love to be buried in a particular cloak he had once been given to as a gift. Anthony so wanted to please the old man that he set out for the cloak in search. When he returned with it, he found Paul stretched out on the sand. Anthony thought he must be praying and knelt down to pray beside him until he realized that Paul was dead. As the story goes, a pair of passing lions helped Anthony to dig a grave for Paul. This may or may not be true, but Anthony did some of Paul's palm leaf clothes, which was worn on special occasions in memory of the most holy hermit. He himself later became a Saint Anthony the Great of Egypt. And so that's the story of Paul and Saint Anthony the Great of Egypt.
There are a lot more saints than I ever thought.
Oh, if I tell you, there are thousands and thousands of saints.
Really?
Well, the beauty of that story is God provides.
He provided.
Right.
He chose.
That's what we've been talking about.
And
right.
He chose someone to provide, to bring him food. And it's just a beautiful story of Paul the Hermit that I don't think too many people know about. And I think that our revelation of all these saints that we've done, like we've done 262 saints, and we can go on forever, is just an enlightening way for us to all know, you know what? We don't have to be big and powerful and smart to be a saint. We can all be saints.
I had a priest friend who used to say, look at the calendar. There's room on it for you.
Oh, that's wow. Can I copy that? Oh, I love that statement.
Look at the
statement.
Calendar.
Oh, Sarah, that's beautiful.
For you.
I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Not at all.
Okay.
I took it from him.
Okay, so let's get on. Let's talk about you. How can people get in touch with you? Tell them about your catalog. Tell them about what you do, what you carry. I mean, if you actually go into your store, you're like amazed because there's so much stuff in there all over the place, including
right,
portraits.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say to people, well, like the home goods of religious shops.
Yes, I know. Yes.
We're always bringing in something new. Always. We're always trying to bring in new things. Because one of the things that Teresa and I noticed when we started back 11 years ago is that you know, there were some beautiful things out there already, but most of us today have our own modern homes, and we want to bring Jesus into them. I said when I first came back to the church over 25 years ago almost, I had early modern Christ in my house. I had black lacquer furniture, and then I would have a picture of Jesus.
Christ.
Yeah, that was my like my grandmother's, and it was just, you know, kind of crazy, but I wanted to have him in my home. So we've been able to find these beautiful pieces of art that go with our decor today.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, you're able. I mean, right. we just brought in these beautiful wooden pictures of Our Lady, of the angels, and Madonna and Child, and Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And I'll be truthful. We can't keep them in.
Wow.
They're absolutely flying.
We have one of your pictures, I believe it's from you, in our dining room. The Last Supper?
You had, yes.
Right.
And
right.
It was given to us by a dear friend of ours, Marie and Harry Haas.
Yes.
And we love them dearly. But it was given to us. And as soon as we got it, it was for our 50th anniversary, we were like stunned with the beauty of it. It's hanging in our
beautiful
dining room.
Frame,
and that's what, you know, so
and,
yeah.
People want to, especially Catholics today,
yeah.
They do want people to know who we are.
Absolutely.
So there's a, you know, and over Christmas, before Christmas, we have been for the last year bringing a particular line in of cutting boards, inspirational, beautiful cutting boards, and cookware.
Oh.
Wow.
And cookware.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, inspirational cookware. We've had these beautiful pie plates, different colors, vibrant colors. I mean, truthfully, they're magnificent. You just come in the shop and people just want to stay there for hours looking at them. So it's been a
now
awesome.
You have two shops, right?
Yes, I do.
So where are they, and do they all have different phone numbers, or do they all have the same number?
Different phone numbers.
Okay, can you tell us where they are and the phone numbers?
Yes,
because people are. I know the one that Marie goes to is right.
That's
on,
in Massapequa.
Massapequa.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we started out in Raffles Center with our first store, and that's the Advent Shop. It's on 40 North Village Avenue.
Yes.
40 North Village Avenue, Raffles Center. And the phone number there is 516-536-7900. And then Massapequa is on 3 Bayview Avenue. It's near St. Rosalie, across the street from St. Rose's Church.
Yes.
In Massapequa. And the number there is 516-799-0450. And then we go further out to Bayshore. And Bayshore is 1219 Sunrise Highway. And the number there is 516-665-0422. And I also have my cell number on our website and my cell number, so anybody can call at any time and ask any question if they're in need of anything or looking for anything. It's 516-445-2600.
It's 516-445-2600. Okay.
And it's adventshop.com, and my cell number is on the web, and I have, you know, it's out there because I answer my phone.
You
all
do,
because
I call you constantly.
All the time.
Okay.
Yes, and people should be able to, you know, call and ask what they're looking for.
Now, your website is adventshop.com. Now, how about your books that you send out?
Okay, the last couple of years.
They're phenomenal.
Yes, the last couple of years, Teresa and I joined the National Church Goods Association. And what that means is now we're able to service the churches across the diocese. And we have our own catalog that goes out to the churches. We sent about 800 catalogs out this past October.
Wow.
Yes. And we're here to serve all the churches. Now we are able to, we sell hosts, we sell vestments, we sell chalices, we sell the altar books, lectionaries, missals, anything you see in the church that they need, candles, paschal candles, ashes. I mean, this is a wonderful way to serve our community.
Oh, I'll say. I'll
Let
say.
Let me ask you something. When you sell the vestments, now if someone dies and they'd like to donate a vestment rather than give flowers, do you have to have someone in mind to give this to or ask a priest first?
I will tell you that for us, having done this for a long time now, many a times we will hear this people come in and say, well, I'd love to donate a vestment in honor of the person who passed away, and my church doesn't need it. I have a list, literally a list, in my shops of people that would be gracious to take them. I have deacon in East Rockaway who travels to all these poor areas around the world, and I actually, I gather up. People bring them back to us.
Oh, great.
And we send them so that they will be used. Okay. So there, there's an it's the universal church.
Right, of course.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's halfway around the world doesn't mean it's not our brothers and sisters.
Right. And
they're in need.
And it doesn't matter then if
as long as a priest puts it on.
Okay.
And it's celebrated in honor of that person. I mean, it's just a beautiful idea. And nothing against florists today, but we all know that flowers get thrown away.
They get thrown away.
And they're gone.
What else do people buy instead?
Chalices, pyxes, ciboriums, cruet sets.
They can get them from you. And what about getting them engraved?
We do that also.
Oh, you do? So you have a full complement.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to let this, they got to know that you can do the whole works.
Yes. Our children's section is amazing. We have great items for children right now. And I tell all the grandparents out there, it's our job to help train up our grandchildren.
Right.
Absolutely.
Our job. Yeah. I will tell a quick story about my own granddaughter. I get my granddaughter, in fact, I'm going to be picking her up when I leave the show. I usually have her on the weekends because there's a situation in my family that... it's not good, but it will get better. So I pick her up on the weekends, and I've been doing this for, almost a year now. Mm-hmm. So when she first came, she just turned 6 on December 28th, the Holy Innocents. When she first came, this is a good year ago, we would sit at my dining room table, and my husband and I would say grace before meals. So here's this little one who's only 5 years old.
I love your husband.
Okay, 5 years old. I said, now we're going to sit down and we're going to pray. And she says to me, I'm not doing that. So I looked at her and I said, why? She said, well, my mommy doesn't do that. So I said, okay, that's okay. You know what? You don't have to do that. But what you do have to do is be silent and sit at the table with us while we pray. And that went on for weeks. She just sat there. I'm like, a little kid being a little stubborn, just sat there. Well, one night we had company, and everything was crazy. We had like 12, 15 people at my house, and I have a small house, and things were crazy. We're putting food on the table, and people are starting to eat, and all of a sudden I get a tug on my sleeve, literally. She goes, Grandma. I go, what's the matter, Michaela? She goes, Grandma, you forgot to pray.
Oh, so you left an impression.
Grandma, you forgot
to pray. And she will remember
you. So, from that day forward, she has been praying with us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she never lets us take a forkful without saying, are we going to pray?
That you left some mark on that child. God bless you.
All right. And so we take her to Mass every Sunday with us. So I tell people, you know what? We can do this gently by example. And that's a great example of what can happen by... We don't have to say you must. No.
Right.
Just be part. Just be gentle. Let her see. Let them
You're
see
right.
who we are.
That's
and that
right.
goes for our adult
Absolutely.
Children.
100%.
I saw something the other day just by accident, and I went on to YouTube by mistake. So I saw this little baby, and I thought, well, let me just take a look at this one, And I opened it up, and it was the family sitting around praying before they ate, and two people held each of the baby's hands and sitting in a little high chair. But this baby was like about a year old,
Doesn't matter.
And just the baby didn't say a word, but just sat there and closed his eyes while they prayed. And he sat there and closed his eyes. And at the end, he said, Amen.
And so we influence our grandchildren. I just want to mention before we get closing is that today, this weekend, is the Telecare Telethon. And so I just wanted to mention to everybody that Telecare does a great job for all of us.
I'm a great supporter of Telecare. Yeah,
and so am I. And I'll be there Sunday night.
Sunday night, he'll
from
be there.
6 to 10, taking phone calls. So if you call up, ask for me, and I'll say hi. So I just wanted to mention that the Telecare Telecon is on, and they do a great job, and I love the Monsignor. And now, can we close with Sierra, you saying a prayer for our...
Our petitions?
Yeah, petitions, and for our listeners.
Father God, I come before you in great gratitude for this day. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And Lord, you know there's many hurting people out there. We have these petitions before us. And I ask you, Father, to be gracious to each and every one of them, and that you would hear and answer their prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And we're truly, truly grateful, Lord God. And we ask you to bless every single person, Lord, who has written down these petitions, and that you would give them their heart's desire, that you would heal them, restore them, and bring them to wholeness again. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. And Jesus, we give you praise and glory, and thank you for allowing us to do this show. And we ask that you bless our listeners also.
If we only have love with our arms open wide,
not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
They will stand at our side. If we only have love that's falling
from the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community.